Blog Talk Radio.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media pillages on TV, the picture is savages the villages, and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a car, keep on stand, all of a sudden you are there in the Indiana Jones. And I keep out the gold and keep out the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and I've ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast, but the way them are gonna flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic lineage where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that sent in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Sabali, that's patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering a world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhyme. It's no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was static, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have thought lost. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Call us teaching universities and claim that they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich gets fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you read signs? Can you read stars? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows? Even though you drive cars, can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. For now, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming? Eating, deleting, ruining.
trying to get paper. Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day, cuz like somebody got a doll of me. Sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms, felt their body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Dang. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali, patience. Yeah.
Free the land, free the land, free the land. Thank you for attending another episode of PGRNA Radio. I am your host, Brother Akin Bekele, and tonight my co-host will be Sister Millie Queen. Tonight's show will be dedicated to Black History Month, which we are in now. And for that occasion, we will be having our Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa's National Minister of Information, Brother Bomani Uhuru Jihad Shakur. But first off, before we bring our special guest on, I just wanted to give you all some information. First off, I want to give you a little bit of information about the origins of Black History Month. The story of Black History Month begins in 1915, half a century after the 13th Amendment abolished slavery in the United States. That September, the Harvard-trained historian Carter G. Woodson and a prominent minister, Jesse E. Moreland, founded the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, an organization dedicated to researching and promoting achievements by Black Americans and other peoples of African descent. Known today as the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, the group sponsored a National Negro History Week in 1926. Choosing the second week of February to coincide with the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. The event inspired schools and communities nationwide to organize local celebrations, establish history clubs, and host performances. So also in giving that information, I also want to provide you all with one of the founding documents in the history of the PGRNA, which is the New African Creed. And in the New African Creed, it is as such. I believe in the spirituality, humanity, and genius of Black people, and in our renewed pursuit of these values. I believe in a family and a community, and in the community as a family, and I will work to make this concept live. I believe in the community as more important than the individual. I believe in constant struggle for freedom, to end oppression, and build a better world. I believe in collective struggle and fashioning victory in concert with my brothers and sisters. I believe that the fundamental reason our oppression continues is that we, as a people, lack the power to control our lives. I believe that the fundamental way to gain that power and end oppression is to build a sovereign Black nation. I believe that all the land in America upon which we have lived for a long time, which we have worked and built upon, and which we have fought to stay on, is land for us to use as a people. I believe in the Malcolm X doctrine that we must organize upon this land and hold a plebiscite, tell the world by a vote that we are free and the land independent, and that after the vote, we must stand ready to defend ourselves, establishing the nation beyond contradiction. Therefore, I pledge to struggle without cease until we have won sovereignty. I pledge to struggle without fail until we have built a better condition than the world has yet known. I will give my life if that is necessary. I will give my time, my mind, my strength, and my wealth because this is
necessary. I will follow my chosen leaders and help them. I will love my brothers and sisters as myself. I will steal nothing from my brother or sister, cheat no brother or sister, misuse no brother or sister, inform on no brother or sister, and spread no gossip. I will keep myself clean in body, dress, and speech, knowing that I am a light set on the hill, a true representative of what we are building and uplifting with the deaf, dumb, and blind. And I will seek by word and deed to heal the black family, to bring into the movement and into the community mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters left by the wayside. Now, freely and of my own will, I pledge this creed for the sake of freedom for my people and a better world, on pain of disgrace and banishment if I prove false, for I am no longer deaf, dumb, or blind. I am, by the inspiration of our ancestors and the grace of our Creator, a new African. All right, and one other piece of information I want to leave you out with today, and it is the actual information related to the origin of our flag, the PGRNA's flag. Green, red, and black are the oldest national colors known to man. They are used as the flag of black liberation movement in America today, but actually date back to the Xing empires of ancient Africa, which existed thousands of years before Rome, Greece, England, or America. The red is for the blood, the green is for the land, the black is for the people. The symbolism of the flag as used by the Republic of New Africa is obvious. The black is on the bottom. We in the Western Hemisphere must obtain land, represented by the green, which is at the top. It is so placed because until black people in this hemisphere obtain land, they will remain on the bottom. And because the acquisition of land is the highest and noblest aspiration for black men in this continent, because without land, there can be no freedom, justice, independence, or equality. The red, or the blood, stands at the center of all things. We lost our land through blood. We cannot gain it except through blood. We must redeem our lives through the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no redemption of this race. Yet, the red stripe is slightly smaller than either the black or the green. It is smaller because the bloodshed and sorrow will not last always. They are not the most important part of the picture. The red simply stands as a flag as a reminder of the truth of history, that men must gain and keep their liberty, even at the risk of bloodshed. The colors were resurrected by the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, father of African nationalism, as a symbol of struggle, sons and daughters of Africa, wherever they may be. Since the 1950s, when the independent struggle began to reap fruit, the green, red, and black have been plainly adopted by Libya, Kenya, and Afghanistan. Other African states have included the colors of black and red, combined with yellow or white. Our flag has no place for white, not even as a border. Kenya has the black on top, where indeed it must be, since they have a base of land, green, on which their freedom rests. They have the red in the center covered with a sword and shield as an ever-present reminder that the price of liberty is bloodshed and armed struggle. The colors were established in 1920 as the banner of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and adopted as a symbol of the African in America at the Convention of the Negro Peoples of the World. It is a symbol of the devotion of all African people to the liberation of the African continent of a nation in Africa ruled by descendants of slaves from the Western world. With the formation of the Republic of New Africa, it has become, in addition, the symbol of the devotion of African people in America to the establishment of an independent African nation on a North American continent. Thus, the colors were not chosen at any limited convention of black persons, but have been, in centuries past and are now, the emblem of true black hope and pride as an embodiment of pan-Africanism and black nationalism. All right. Thank you again for joining this night's show. And at this time, I'm going to bring my co-host on, as well as our speaker for this evening.
I say, free the land, everybody. How y'all doing tonight? Hello, can y'all hear me?
Relax.
Jesus.
Okay, how you doing tonight, Reverend Spomani?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Sister Deborah, man? I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well. We want to welcome you to the show. Thank you for being our guest tonight. So I'm going to start the show off with the first round of questions that are kind of simple and right to the point. So we want you to first introduce yourself to us and give us the meaning of your name, okay?
Well, my name is Other National Minister of Information for the Bureau of Public Africa. My name is Bumani Ihiro Jahad Shakir. Bumani is a Malawian name that means brave warrior. Bumani is also a Kemetic name, which is an Egyptian name for warrior, and it's also a Kiswahili, which is a Swahili name for mighty warrior. Ihiro is Kiswahili, Swahili for freedom. Jahad is Arabic for struggle. Shakir is Arabic for to be thankful, to be more appreciative, thankful to God. My whole name and meaning is I'm the mighty warrior, freedom and struggle, who are thankful for God. That's the name. That's the whole title and meaning of it. That's who I am.
I say. Thank you for that. So you are here tonight. You are Deputy Minister of Information, and you are very, very, you got the information. So we're going to start it off. We want you to give us, could you tell us what PGRNA means, what it stands for?
PGRNA stands for the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa.
All right, that's all you going to give
them? well, what it stands for, well, you know, the Provisional Government of the Republic of Africa, you know, Provisional Government, the Republic of Africa itself, the Provisional is a term that means very temporary or a basic something that they put in replace of something, something that actually is there at a particular time. So right now, until we actually win our independence, we're a temporary government. That's why we're provision of government. You know, and the Republic of Africa based our landmass in which we trying to build on, which is the five states, which is South Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, right? That's the Republic of Africa itself, right? And everybody who's a country, new African citizen, and the new African independent movement is a part of the Republic of Africa, irregardless of your formation, your cadre, your collective, your organization, or your foundation, whoever it may be. Once you declare your new African citizenship, you're part of the Republic of Africa. And also anybody that born from the descendants of the captured new African or brought to North America is a new African citizen, but they're not a country African citizen unless they declare themselves a country African citizen. And once you declare yourself, it means that you decided to struggle with us to get until we gain independence. You know, that's basically what it means right now.
All right, you see how in depth you got. You're gonna try to give us that little short answer the first time. Don't do that. All right, so we're gonna move on to the next.
That's what it means. I just told you what it means.
You see how in depth you got with that next answer. So we're gonna keep it like that. We need all the information, all of it. So my next question is, how did the PGRNA get started? Give us that background history, right? Cool.
Okay, well, first off, it was a letter put out March 15, 1968. Hold on right quick. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I checked on that. First, there was a letter put out by the Malcolm X Society that was dated March 15, 1968. And a letter was sent out to different individuals from different organizations, different formations, different factions, different individuals in regards to talking about the building of an independent nation, right? Independent black nation, so to speak, because at that time, we still had the Black Liberation Movement that were active. You know, and this letter put out as an invitation for people come there for a 2-day conference, a basically a 3-day conference, because during that Friday, a lot of people had meetings in the 20 Grand Hotel. So during these 2 days, March the 30th and March 31st, they had hours of vigorous conversation in regards to deciding what name going to be, I'm tired of a particular fad, tired of a particular constitution. I'm tired of everything in the government. So the first thing that was drafted was called the Declaration of Independence. And the Declaration of Independence was signed by 200 different signees, right? And they declared the Republic of Africa a nation on March 31st, 1968 in Detroit, Michigan. And also the Malcolm X Society was an organization that was started in 1967 in Detroit, Michigan, by brothers known as the Henry Brothers, which later on became known as Gaidi Abadeli and Mari Abadeli, and also another brother known as Lawrence Henry, which was their older brother. And the organization, and it was started due to the fact they were carrying on legacy of Malcolm X, who identified land being the base of independence. He also was a mentor in an organization called known as Round Revolution Action Movement that Gaidi Abadeli and Mari Abadeli were also a part as well, right? So they moved from that standpoint. So when they put it out, It became a living reality. They carried on the legacy of Malcolm X as being Malcolmites, as being his students. So also in 1967,
hello,
okay.
Miss Mama.
I'm back.
Okay.
Yeah. I said also in 1966. Mari Abadeli wrote what you termed the Malcolm X Doctrine, which is Mari America, he first wrote it in 1966. Then he revised it again in 1968 as another edition. But he wrote it initially in 1966 before the Malcolm X Society was created in 1967. So that's a little in regard to the origins of it, right there, a little of the origin. And also during that time, during the founding, different offices was established. There were different ambassadors as well to different African countries, and different positions was established during that time, during that meeting, the foreign and regional cabinet.
I
hope that answers your question.
Yes, it does, very, very well. And since we are on this subject, could you please tell us about our New African Nation Day that's coming up in March?
Well, New African Nation Day is going to take place in Charleston, South Carolina, North Charleston, South Carolina, from March the 31st to April the 2nd. And March 31st is based on the commemoration of the founding vision of the Republic of Africa that took place March 31st, 1968, in which I just initially just spoke about being the founder. You know, during New African Nation Day, it's a commemoration to follow the founding vision of the Republic of Africa, and also a commemoration to get people involved with active workshops, talking about different things dealing with different ministries, from education, from defense, from security, from intelligence, from psychology, from culture, just things, different things dealing with the different forms of ministries and different speakers. You're also going to be very active, such as a tour of the historical aspects of Charleston, South Carolina, which is one of the first places where a lot of the slaves came from, known as the Twin City. South Carolina, Twin City, Savannah, Georgia, were known as Seaport. South Carolina, known as the Port City. They were Twin City, where a lot of slaves came from in Africa. You know what I'm saying? During the 1500s and 1600s. Some refer to the historical origin of New African people in 1619. Some refer to their 1526, you know, in regards to our historical origin of New African people being brought to the shore of North America as human shafts of slaves or property or, you know, a people that'll basically consider lower than man, you know, subhuman people. We got brought to these shores, right, during that time. And that's our development of the New African Nation, where we turn right now.
I say in the 55 years on our road to plebiscite, to our plebiscite, I'm going to ask my last question, and then I'm going to turn it back over to my co-host, Minister Aki. Last question
okay.
I have is, you know, historically, I didn't realize that so many people were involved with the creation of the Republic of New Africa, right? So, can you tell us some of the founding members of the Republic of New Africa, and lastly, end with giving us the goals and objectives of the PGRNA?
You said some of the founding members. Okay. So, I'm gonna give you some founding members. Also, I'm gonna give you some. Tell me about some of the. I'm gonna give you some. I just go on some of the recapment. Some of the founding members are people like Queen Mother Moore, Guy Abadeli, Mari Abadeli, Dr. Billy Shabazz, Mama Jo Aaron Franklin, General Wacy Chewy, we got the Elder General Rashid, you got Dr. Muhammad Ahmad, you got H. Rod Brown, former known as Iman Jamil Amin, you got Sister Dara Abakari, you got I'm backing, man. It's a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Hold up. You got people like let me see.
Hey, you giving us a whole list of. So come on, give us those and objectives. You know what I'm saying? Don't feel like
it's a lot of them. You know, I'm just coming off my brain right now, you know, just coming off my brain, because I was really thinking about telling who some of the individuals were and everything, so I had a lot on my mind at the time, you know. But, you know, it's a lot of goals in Jet DeVille, you know what I'm saying? One is land, which is the base of independence. You know, another goal in Jet DeVille is establish an independent government to be recognized all through the world through international affairs, through the international government's aspect as well. Be recognized by other African countries and other people that have fought for liberation as well. Another goal is reparations, you know, and reparations come in the aspect of land, also come in the aspect of freedom of our catch new African citizens as well, right? You know, and basically the right to, we are also basically the right to self-determination, which also includes self-defense, because the Republic of New Africa is a revolutionary government. And we know revolution brings change, right? And we look at our flag, we had it red because we know there had to be some type of bloodshed, right? But the village show won't last long once we create things up. So that's what we created for in regard to the sense of things, right? That one thing I remember, because all the governments that don't gain independence, they went through revolution with bloodshed. It's not going to bloodshed. If it be Haiti, if it be Kenya, if it be Ghana, if it be Zimbabwe, if it be Mozambique, if it be Tanzania, wherever place you look at, it's also going to bloodshed, right? So it was also going to revolutionary struggle. And all revolutionary struggle now fighting the same fault, fighting the same types of ground. Some struggle going to be political. Some struggle going to be technological. Some struggle going to be agricultural. Different struggles happen different ways, right? But we are a revolutionary government. Now, you're right.
I say, thank you so very much. And I'm going to hand the show back over to my co-host, Mr. Akin, for the land, y'all. And I'm still here. I love y'all.
Well, I didn't mean that, sir.
All right. To the land. Thank you for being on the show tonight, brother. We appreciate you being here. I guess to keep the ball rolling, can you tell us about what got you involved with the provisional government? Because, you know, history talks about, you know, what actually happened and things of that nature. So what was it for you that brought you full circle to want to start participating with the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa?
Okay. Well, you know, the first time I actually heard about it, I read a book called Monster by Monster Coder Scott, a.k.a. Fanny Secure, right? I read the book in 97. And he talked about being a citizen of the Republic of New Africa, right? You know, he talked about being a citizen, but I didn't know he was talking about that time. So later on, I read some material, a pamphlet by Abdul Lubar Security, one of the founders of GJU. And once I read that, he gave an understanding, a breakdown. I actually read it like, I think, year 2000, you know, I read it in 2000. Then after I read it, he gave a definition of what a new African was. He wrote the pamphlet, another brother called Abasi Ghana. Another comrade, he wrote the document, right? And he was talking, they gave him a different definition of what a new African was and what colonialism and different titles, right? So when I started reading and looking at things from a historical perspective, I decided this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be, man. I want to be a new African. I want to be a country new African. I want to be active. I want to be active in the struggle of liberation. And then later on, I read a material called Up the Hill from New African Prison Struggle by former political prisoner Sundiata Okoli. They gave a breakdown about New African Prison Struggle, different organizations, the different movement, the race movement, the civil rights movement, so forth and so on, right? They gave me and dealt more understanding. So I started researching, right? The more I researched and the more I decided that what I wanted to be, and that's why I started becoming active, you know. But it wasn't until later on that I actually met some people. It was later on in 2010, 2011, I actually met some people that actually were involved in the Prison Republic Africa, right? That's when the ball really started rolling for me. Now I really started getting active and doing certain things, you know, being engaged in different ministries and doing work, propagating, you know, sending information, things of that nature, right? Then when I actually got involved, you know what I'm saying, within the government itself, even though I was doing things before that, like I was trying to spread the awareness of it. But, you know, I understand my thing was I realized that we got to have our own nation. You know, I studied different philosophies, different ideologies, and a lot of them, they weren't really talking about nothing for real, to be honest. You know, it was just something like to feed my mind. I wanted something that we can consider to be our own, something that can be empowerment, something I can look at, my child can look at, my grandchildren, my family can look at, something of our own that we say is our own, respectable, especially in regards to, like you said, the history, talks about all the great kingdoms and civilization we had in the past. Was our kingdom now? Was our great civilization now? Was our power structure now? Was our government at now? You know, that's what I want to see. So I done embarked my life on that and making that a reality. So that's what it is for me. You know, it's a reality. And also, once you take the new African oath, it's a commitment for life. It doesn't matter what nobody say or do, what anybody else doing. Once you make the commitment, it's on you to make things happen. And to your certain capability and your certain ability that you have to make things happen. So those are my reasons, you know.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
No doubt.
You mentioned that in order for us to gain independence, that we'll be arm struck. And for that, we definitely would need help internally and externally abroad. In the history of the PG, has there ever been any affiliation with countries outside of the United States, and what did that look like when it happened?
It had been various affiliations, you know, like for instance, like Robert Williams was elected to be the president, right? And he was in exile at that time. At the time, he was in exile. You know, so Guy Debra and Marvin Daly and Sister Mae Mallory, they actually went to Tanzania where he was at, you know, and sat down with the dignitaries there and established a relationship at that time, when he was there in 68, right? You know, those were working relationship at that time. And also, another working relationship was with Tanzania and a couple other countries when the brother Yusufu Tumbiato, he went down and started learning about quote-unquote African socialism or African Ujamaa. And he took that concept and brought it back and started creating new African Ujamaa. You know, and also, it's also been very relationships in regards to Cuba with the Prison Republic of Africa because a lot of countries new African citizens had went there and resorted there and went exiled other people in the black, and where people in the Black Liberation Movement. There's a lot of people from the Oakland cadre had went there in the 70s. Mama Sasha Kier is there. Mama that had the Aberdeen with there. She returned her essence there. So relations had always been in regard to certain things. There had been a relationship with Zimbabwe, where Marvin Daly and other individuals met with the president of Zimbabwe, you know, at that time, you know. So it been very relationships, right? And these relationships are work relationships because these relationships are needed in regard to get recognized internationally. You know, when we had the international allies, we can get a seat in certain situations. We can get a seat in a vote in regards to being an independent nation. We can get recognized. And also we can get help, aid, and assistance in regard to what we're pushing for, which is the independence. You know, so that's what it actually looked like in all reality, right? You know, and right now we need to regain any relationships. We need to analyze some of these people's conditions right now, analyze the relationship that they did have, what we got going on right now, and see how we can work together to make the relationship feasible. You know what I'm saying? So we can get the work, we can get the aid and assistance we need. I also can get aid and assistance other individuals as well. You know, okay, it's a two-way street. You know, there's some things that we can do for them that they might not be able to do for themselves, and things they do for us that we can't do for ourselves. So that's a working relationship. And all sense of everything being a New York Revolution nationalist, a New African nationalist, we also paying African sense because we also can understand that the independence of Africa is a priority as well, but our focus right here in the shores of North America, the empire. we're working our independence here. But it doesn't take away that we want independence for all African worldwide globe as well. Right, yeah.
Good information, good information. So you mentioned about the struggle within the empire, which is here in the United States.
Yes, sir.
Historically, can you expound upon the U.S. government's relationship with the PGRNA and anything that may have happened or transpired within those years since its inception of the PG?
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, the state or the government doesn't like the PG. Because we don't identify with their politics, you know. Like Malcolm X said, he said American politics is dollarism, which is capitalism. That's what they want, right? We don't identify with that particular system. We identify with a system that communalistic in turns in regard, we want to share our resources with everybody in our nation. Well, the first thing that occurred was in March 29, 1969, in Detroit, Michigan, right? At New Bethel Church. Which after the church of Reverend Franklin, which is the dad of Aretha Franklin, right? And during that time, we had our first commemoration, which at the time known as Black Nation Day. And during Black Nation Day, you know, the state attacked us during that time while we were commemorating, attacked us. And our soldiers, you know, some of the Black Legionnaires and other comrades from other formations, you know what I'm saying, like the Afro said and brother from Ram, or the formation, or they defend our nation, right? And the government, it suffered a casualty, but we didn't suffer no casualty. Locked us up, we got out. So that was the first attack on us in 1969. And then again, we got attacked again August 18, 1971, in Jackson, Mississippi, what we call Mega Edwardsville. We got attacked in two different locations, you know, and it. Everybody who got attacked, the first location was 7 people, and the second location was 4 people. Again, it was casualties on the sides of the state. They lost casualties. LBI agent, poly agent, they lost them. They returned to their essence. But we didn't suffer no casualties. But everybody was part of that got locked up. They became known as the RNA 11. It was 11 different comrades. They had different positions in government, from the president, the vice president, minister of information, you know, so forth and so on, right? And they went behind enemy lines. You know, for quite some years. Some people did 10 years, some people did a couple years, some people did 5. They did different time periods, right? So those were the first two attacks upon our government, you know. So, which there were victories for us because we didn't lose no casualties, so there were victories to us. And one thing about the state, that they don't respect any kind of particular victories, right? They're going to try their best to neutralize things or infiltrate, attack, perpetrate, you know, cause dissension or whatever they may be. But that's our relationship with the United States government. Well, we don't have a relationship with the United States government. We want to establish our own government. You know, we want to establish an independent nation. We can call for ourselves. We can feed our own people. We have our own schools, own community center, own library, own hospitals, own military, own army, you know, own agriculture, own farm, things of that nature, own clothing, own money, you know, own passports. Everything that takes for a nation to function, that's what we want and desire. That's what we need. And that's what we're striving to fight for right now. Now, you.
No doubt. So can you expound upon, you mentioned security and those who were defending us. Can you expound upon some of the organizations that have been utilized for protection of the PG throughout the year?
Well, when the PG was first established, Queen Mother Moore, who was a Garveyite, you know, and well, Sister Abercard, they were Garveyites, right? They were Garveyites. So the Garvey, a formation of Garveyite that was security and protection was the Black Legionnaires, right? So Queen Mother Moore opted the name for the Black Legionnaires, and everybody rolled with it. So Black Legionnaires became the name or our military, our army at that time, you know. That was in 68, you know, the Black Legionnaires. You know, and then in 69, we created new African security forces, you know, which is a formation here for the security aspect of the nation. So we had the military, we had the army, we had the security. Then we also had what you would call the new African citizen militia, which actually were the different citizens that were training in different units and cadres in their respective areas. So they were training for military defense as well. And so it became a tradition that all the presidents be trained in self-defense as well, so they be able to protect themselves. Everybody being trained at that time, up to a certain time period, right? You know, doing different ideological and other different things that occurred. So then you also don't have what you term the they were born out of the Malcolm X part, the New African Security Force. They were called the New African Legionnaires, which is another formation, military formation that was created as well later on throughout the years in the 70s. It's another military formation, you know, that the PG has had. Now, it's already been created for the PG, where you do have other formations for the other new formation, New African Independence, but already been in the PG, the New African Legion, New African Security Forces, New African Legionnaires, and the Black Legionnaires. You know, those have been formations geared toward the aspect of military security apparatus for the Virginia Republic of Africa to defend the citizens, defend the officers. Those are some of the apparatus of things. Another thing to realize that the PG had never controlled anything under the ground. So any underground forces had never been in control of the PG. Even though certain individuals had identified being country African citizens, those underground forces were never in control of the Virginia Republic of Africa. Because our government is above ground. It's not a clandestine government. So those forces are not under control. You know, this shows something from the Legion or Celtics, agent system in certain ways. I hope to answer your question, brother.
Yes, thank you. So you mentioned that for us to gain our own independence and land, you mentioned the five states. Can you tell us why those states were chosen? And what was the significance of those particular states when they were chosen?
Okay, well, you know, when the first thing we did that those were the places that all our New African ancestors was at. Like I said earlier, the two twin cities, Charleston, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia, which is Savannah being the seaport and Charleston being the port city. Those were places where a lot of the African come to. You know, there were a lot of them brought to. A lot of other places as well, Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, slaves and other plantations as well, right? And those are the places that we had the greatest number of people at after the Reconstruction period. Those are the places. There were a lot of places that we resisted as well. There were various revolts in all them places, in South Carolina and Georgia and Louisiana, you know, various revolts in those places as well to establish independence. So they're also that those places have it varies water routes in those places from Mississippi, Louisiana, South Carolina, Georgia. You know, those vary water routes as well for transportation, travel, trade, things of that nature, right? And also the aspect of rich soil, rich agriculture, and also basically that, like we said in the African Creed, we don't work to build upon their plan so long, this place don't work to build upon. So it actually belonged to us. We built all this stuff up through our quote-unquote slave labor, what they call it. Being this human capital, human commodity that was utilized to establish a racist system. We want to turn the empire, you know. So those are just various reasons right there by themselves alone.
No doubt. So, in understanding what has transpired for the creation of the Provisional Government of the Republic of North Africa, I know when I was in school, they taught us about these white men that gathered back in 1776 to declare their independence from England. Is there something like that for New Africans that happened, or when the Provisional Government of the Republic of New Africa was established, what went into that? What was their ideas about that? Was there some document that came out of that when they met in 1968? Can you let us know about that?
Yeah, yes, it was called the Declaration of Independence. You know, and the Declaration of Independence had people that signed it, that declared of official nation, Declaration of Independence. You know, and the first person to sign it was Queen Mother Moore. She the first person to sign it. That once she signed it, the nation became a reality. The government became a reality then. The second person was signed it was Papa Wells, you know. And both of these two individuals were elders at that time. both 70-plus years old at that time when the government started. You know, they already had been doing things, various things in the movement, the various movement, the Black Liberation Movement, they've been doing various things already and fight for liberation, independence, and government and various movements already were part of. They were followed by 198 more people, making it 200 people that actually signed into existence the Declaration of Independence. That became our first document. That became our first document right now, the Declaration of Independence, right? They declared ourselves a free and independent nation from the oppressor, from the state, from the empire. You know, it was called the sign of Declaration of Independence that we went through. That happened March 31st, 1968, you know, that established our government as such as it is right now. And that's a foundation document that we still follow and adhere to, you know, right now to this day. That's why they call it a government convention. It was a convention where it took place at.
Understood. Now, being that it was in 1968, can you give us some of the era of what was going on in that time? Like, you know, so these people, they met and they had this government convention. But what was the atmosphere in the nation like during that time? Like, you know, was it okay for us to just go out and try to organize something like that? Like, what was going on in that time, you know, when these people struggled and they sat down and they came up with this? What was going on in the face of them as they were doing this?
Well, there was a lot of things going on in that time, you know, just like now, right now. You know, it was a lot of poverty, miseducation, police brutality, mass incarceration. There's a lot of things going on in that time. So at that time, during the 60s, there was a lot of movement going on at the time, especially Black Liberation Movement. You know, Black Liberation Movement, the Black Arts Movement, those movements were being prepared and going on at the time. Also, the Black Prison Movement, those movements were taking place during that time, right? So a lot of these movements, people were doing things in regard to building the community up, armed struggle, and so forth and so on. But it wasn't no movement, actually, that was talking about the independence of the people, independence of people in America. It was the Pan-African Movement talking about independence of Africa. But it wasn't nothing that actually resonated to the people here in regard to them establishing and having things here in particular that go back to a lot of our resistance in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s about our people trying to establish different little towns and cities that we established during that time. All the individuals that came to the convention were all interested in hearing more about establishing a new government. A lot of them were doing works already. A lot of them came from different formations like Rebel Action Movement, Black Panther Party, United Slaves, Ways from Ndugu, the Garveyites, the Chains of H. Rod Brown, you know, Student National Coordinating Committee. They came from various formations already. They were already doing certain things, right? People came from the Yoruba Nation, Nation of Islam, so forth and so on, right? You know, and the climate at that time was, it had been a lot of riots going on from 66, 67, 68, you know, a lot of riots going on, quote-unquote rebellions, because a lot of things were organized by us, right? You know what I'm saying? We were organized defenses against white supremacy, against attacks, against the dirty police, against police brutality, against them murdering our people, so we had to defend ourselves, right? Our struggle was a very relevant thing at that time, you know, and go out to defend ourselves. We was never the person to try to attack them, but we was defending ourselves. That was self-determining means, you know, to defend yourself, self-defense, self-determination. That defend yourself, the right to choose your own destiny by defending yourself against racist attacks and police attacks and those attacks that are going to harm your people or harm your family, right? So that's what we were doing at that time. So that time, the political climate was very right. For the condition to push for the establishment of independent government. So people are active and struggle already for the climate right at that time. So it went for them, you know. And once it was created, it changed the dynamics in regards to the movement. It created a new movement called the New African Independent Movement that was different than the Black Liberation Movement. Even though people in the Black Liberation Movement were revolutionary Black nationalists, we were new African revolutionists because we understood that we wasn't the same Black Revolution Black Nation anymore, but New Africanism, because we identify with a national identity, which is being New African, a political identity being New African, international being New African. But we knew that it had to be a revolutionary struggle to establish this nation that we're talking about, the black nation we're talking about, so we can't be a revolutionary nation at that time in particular, which is still true to today. I hope I answered your question there, brother.
You did. You did. Thank you. Thank you for that information. And so at this time, if we have any callers on the line, if you would like to ask a question to our guest, please hit the number 1 on your phone. If there are any callers on the line that have any questions for our guest, please hit the number 1 at the time to ask your question. And at this time, I am going to let my co-host ask a follow-up question of hers. But at this time, Mr. Melly, go ahead and ask your question.
Great, man. I forgot to ask you, Minister Bomani. I want to tell you congratulations on your book, and I want you to tell us about your book that you just released.
Okay. Well, I just released a book called The Manifest for African Psychotherapy. And I felt a need to put the material out there just to the fact that, you know, I've been studying different things, gained different experience, been involved in different work and organization over the years, right? So I came to the realization that, you know, a lot of times we're doing that work, we got to be in our right mind state and have something of self-identity in regard to who we are so we can get a better understanding of our work. And I also understood that we got a lot of problems. We don't have all the greatest thinker, the greatest scholar, the greatest move, greater everything. But, you know, but we got to understand that the determination means from the jump, gain the understanding of yourself and controlling your own mind, staying control of who you are and gain a particular identity psychologically. And the more we think about things from the perspective of who we are as a new African, a people of African origin, we kind of go into that mindset that we are people that identify with independent, the people identify with building a society, you're communalistic. We people that had a supreme intelligent mind state, and we all want to be free. So my book is only a sociological primer, so to speak, to get you to think for yourself. You know, through our mind we can come with our own solution. Like we talking about miseducation. Well, the solution is, you know, we can have our own African center schools, our own homeschooling collective. We have information center, learning center, community centers. You know. We talking about a food shortage. Well, we can create community gardens. We can create family gardens. We can buy land, create a farm. We can learn about agriculture, learn about hydroponics, growing things up underwater. You know, those are all solutions in our own mind state, right? That we can have, we decide on our own. You know, it's just a book to make you think. That's all it's about. To keep the think going. Because we losing the war in regards to our mind state. We losing that war. You know, so we got to all be supreme thinkers as much as possible.
I say, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. And like I say, congratulations on your book, and I yield.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for that, Sister Miller. And at this time, we have caller 334-652. Your line is open for your question. Caller with phone number 334-652. Your line is open for your question.
Free the land. This is Comrade Kamasi, Deputy Minister of Information.
Body Minister. How you doing?
Good. How y'all doing, Comrade Melly, Comrade Akin?
Doing well,
everybody good?
Doing strong.
So,
I also would like to congratulate you on your book, brother. But my question is in regards to the terminology of New African, right? Of course, you mentioned in 68, when after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, that produced the new African independence movement, which was a different iteration than the Black Liberation Movement. In your everyday travels, whenever you're speaking to, like, just our people, our African people, whether you're at Walmart or whether you're at a school or whether you're at on the block or whatever, how important do you feel that it is for you to utilize the term New African in order to, assert the objectives of the New African Independence Movement? Do you figure that it's interchangeable with Black or Negro or colored? You know what I'm saying? I feel like for a long time we've had this battle over nomenclature for our people. So how important do you feel that it is for you to use New African, just to ensure that folks understand where you're coming from.
Okay. Well, you know, it's very important, man. It's imperative to me, by being a New Afro-Asian, and that's imperative to me due to the fact that, no, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as black or Negro, none of those terms, right? The first time I actually heard about the term being used is when a lot of the countries in Africa were gaining independence in the 50s and the 60s. It's like their first time I've seen the term New African being used. But they were using it from the sense of term that that they gained independence, so they were no longer under the oppression of the imperialists or the capitalists. So they were new people. They were the same African people. They were new African people that had established a new nation, a new government, new independence. Right. That was the meaning that they had. And also, there's a movement in Africa, the new African movement. It was based upon a lot of people that gained a particular country, a lot of freedom, and also based upon the aspect that they were utilizing a lot of concepts of what you want to term New African Christianity, from the aspect of Alexander Cromwell, the aspect of Martin Lane and other individuals, right? And they were pushing a New African nation from that standpoint in Africa, right? Which is something totally different than New African Independent Movement. Well, New African Independent would have the historical origin in regards to us being involved in changing the cycles over here. We started developing to a new nation of people, but especially when we were being bred with other African people as well, it wasn't from the country or the tribe that we were from, and also from the rate of our people from the slave masters being mixed with people that were already aboriginal in the country, all the travel here, that had established homesteads as well. And we develop a new type of people, but a new type of mind state, a new type of culture, a new type of language. Because a lot of our language throughout the year, we lost the language that was originally embedded with our African tribes, our state language. We lost all that. But we became a new type of people, right? And also that we still had that spirit of resistance in us that we also all identified being free, because in the motherland, it wasn't no prison. It wasn't no slavery. It wasn't no none of this stuff going on. It was abundant. It was like we walk around and touch animals and walk around just find gold and jewelry, sapphire, walk around and just grab food and drink water, so forth and so on, right? We had to worry about none of that. Now, even our civilizations, it was abundance of everything in all our civilizations, you know, in regard to who we are. So that's more of an origin to me in regard to a total complete way of life. You know, this total complete way of life to me. It's not just no term what people see. You know, it's more of an identification that let us know that we got a history of struggle, we got a history of being free, we got a history of independence, we got a history of greatness, and that's what we must tap into. So that's why it's important to me for people, every time I talk to you, it's important for me to change those thoughts with them, even to give them an example of some people that actually been involved, or give them a little history, or give them some literature, or point them to something, a documentary, or video, or whatever, just to educate their mind, just to spark their interest, to spark their thought in them. So they can ask questions or be interested or actually see that there's other ways of attaining things, or other ways to see things that they actually don't see right now. So it's very important to me, you know, as a New African propagandist to do so as much as possible. Did I answer your question, brother?
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it. No doubt.
All right. Thank you for that, Brother Minister Kumasi. Again, if there's anyone on the line that would like to ask a question at this time, please press 1 on your phone. So at this time, I want to kind of put you on the spot there, Brother Bomani. Congratulations for your book. Do you have a little passage that you can read for us, something you got queued up that you could possibly read for us right quick on the air? If you have that's fine. If not,
okay,
we understand.
Okay, so I can read from my book. There's a passage. Okay, I got something I can read right quick. I got something. I'm glad you said it. I got something I can read, man. Okay.
Wonderful.
Okay, I got something I can read, man. Hold on. Let me see here. Okay. Okay, I got something I can read. Okay, I'm gonna read this. Okay, okay. I said in the first part, a mental layout was set out for the power of perception to observe. This was done as a probationary to ascend once at a high degree of elevation, so that we'd be better able to conceptualize it to full actualization via our own individual philosophy. As a foundational basis made, we then can build from the uses of our degree in intellect that will not only identify personal mental issues, but show how we fare nationally and globally as a people of African descent. The key to all of this is not just to find out mental issues. I intend to get every single entity to realize the particular methodology to arrive at any solution and all solutions to our mental predicament. Self-education is an essential tool in this process, enable us to be our true self. What is your true self? In order to define even answer this above question, we'll place ourselves in the African mind so that we may be better able to fully comprehend the depth of the true self. The true self can and will be in the manifesto materialized on three very plain existence. These three degrees are 1, spiritual, 2, mental, and 3, physical. Spiritual. We are ancient cosmic spirit that manifested as individual souls or consciousness that gave birth to all worlds, sciences, religion, and philosophies. On another note, African spirituality is the first foundation of African psychotherapy. Mental. We must reorientate ourselves via the process of re-Africanization, where we think and act like our ancient communal ancestors in our story on the country we know as Africa. African psychology is the second foundation of African psychotherapy. Physical. We know scientifically via biology, archaeology, and anthropology that human life began in landmass or material location we know to be Africa in a geographical sense. Thus, our culture as people of Africanis is our hand power that we must tap into to gain independence. Knowing the fullness of the physicality of Africa is the key to our overall liberation. African history, our story, is the third foundation of African psychotherapy. Historical events have made it known that we must reclaim our true self to further our development. This furtherance will and can produce new society, new nation, and new world taught about, fought about, and many died about to see. African psychotherapy shall be an instrument of our liberation. Liberation is a state of total freedom, your hero. Liberation is best defined by us being totally independent of all outside forces, powers, and energies that don't serve our identity and interests of African people. The greatest weapon and greatest resource we have at our disposal is our very own mind. African psychotherapy should be utilized to dismantle all forms of white terror domination, also termed white supremacy. Many times we talk about all the problems we have, such as poverty, miseducation, drugs, crime, poor housing, mass incarceration, racism, and so forth, when in actuality, we know the cure to all of the mentioned above, when in actuality, we know the cure to all of the mentioned diseases instead of termination. Yeah, that's a little couple of passages right there, man.
I appreciate that. So can you summarize that for us? Like what what was the author trying to say with that passage?
Well, the thing about it was that basically saying that we have a system method that we can utilize. Our system that we utilize is founded upon outside college, which is a liberation school, right? You know, and the liberation school of thought, first liberate our mind, right? Once you liberate your mind, you can liberate everything around your area, right? But our liberation starts within the mind. You like the revolution start with your mind. You like conscience start with your mind. Everything starts from a particular standpoint. And once you go within and get this through experience, you gather information, you talk with individuals, living life, you actually can apply the information you have in your mind psychologically and incorporate it in regards to building your nation, building your city, building your family, building with yourself, building your community, so forth and so on, right? So basically we're saying that we got the solution to all our problems and issues within us if we actually utilize them through our own mind and put them to effect. You know, turn them to a working aspect, manifest those things, you know, turn them to reality. That's basically what I was saying.
All right. No doubt. No doubt. Thank you for that. Thank you for that.
No doubt.
at this time, what we're going to do is we're going to, I have a couple of more questions, and then we're going to get ready to have our final thoughts for the show.
Okay.
Sister co-host, be ready with your final thoughts for the show. So my next question, when you were preparing to write the book, what did you use as research, or did you do any research? What did that process look like? Because, you know, as you mentioned, we have some of the most thought-provoking and thought-inspiring people as New Africans. And sometimes we want to be able to get our message out, but we don't know necessarily how to do that. And so for those people listening who may have such information as yourself that they want to get out in the form of a book, what did that research look like for you, and then what did that process look like for you to be able to accomplish the book that you have?
Well, okay. I first wrote something in 2001, right? I started writing poetry. I wrote a lot of poetry. I actually got a lot of material compiled right now for poetry with some other things, right? But it wasn't until later on I really decided that I wanted to publish something, right? And, which I really started looking into that for real in 2007, 2008, right? But I never did make anything manifest. So I kept on studying and writing things. So it wasn't until 2019 I went to the Malcolm X Festival. Now, I met his brother. What the brother name? Yeah. Can't think of the brother. Brother name is Raymond Gould. Okay. And the brother had wrote some books already. So he had a book called How to Write and Print Under $300, right? So I bought the book from the brother. He signed the book and everything. Took a little picture, you know. So I kept the book, you know. I read it, you know, read a couple of times. Then I revisited it. And the book, he was talking about how you can Google the aspects of cheap printers, how you can Google a cheap ISBN number and the barcode and all that, right? So I did the research. I'm gonna see if it's true or not. So I did the research. I already knew about the U.S. copper. I already knew about it already because I previously had an application in 2007. I already seen the application. So I already knew that process already. But the ISBN, the barcodes, and all that, they were new to me. So what I did, you know, I hollered one of my comrades. I got me a cover. An editor, and I got my material edited. And once I went through that process, I submitted it to the U.S. Copyright, and it took a time to do that. Once I got it submitted, they gave me a certificate of copyright. Then once I even do it, I also during that time I purchased me an ISBN number, but the barcode is free once you get an ISBN number. But you can't get the barcode until you actually attach the manuscript to the ISBN number. And once my manuscript went through the U.S. copyright, I got a certificate of copyright, I attached my manuscript to my ISBN number, and that's when I got my barcode, and that's when the book became official. And it became official through the process of self-publishing. And once I became self-published, they listed me on a site called BookWire, which is a site that lists all self-published books on. It say what your book is about, your little brief about your book, things of that nature, your price, whatever it may be, right? And that's when the process began right there. But all the process truly began when you just start thinking about your idea, putting your idea together, what you want to write about. Find a time within yourself to write, a space to write, a mood to write, you know, and just keeping those thoughts active and flowing. You know, you can make the book how long you want to write it. No, it's on you. But you got to find that time to articulate your thoughts. And some of the resources that I utilize, you know, I've been studying the very form of sociology and psychology, looking at speeches and reading books by Dr. Francis Wilson, which I met in 2016. I read a book 2001. I read Dr. Neil Atwood 2001. A lot of people are reading this stuff. I met various psychologists, Dr. Malcolm Bone, Dr. Ray Winbush. I met these various individuals, right? And I also maintained communication over the years, you know. So they were all inspiring me to things, you know what I'm saying? even though some of them might not know or not, they were all inspiring me to think from that psychological perspective, right? You know, just my own. Then I also realized, you know, my first study in psychology was learning about different people like Sigmund Freud, Carl Alphala, Adler. You know, they were European people, but I realized that they wasn't identified with that. They didn't experience nothing that we experienced from that human chattel slavery, Atlantic slave trade, the Southern slave trade, the miseducation system, MasterCard. They didn't experience none of that. So how can they in particular describe anything dealing with our mind when they don't really, can't even relate to us, right? So I found out that was a bunch of BS to me. So I want to know more about our African mindset. So I just said, now you think of. So I said, now all our great thinkers from France Fanon and Dr. Amy Wilson, Mama Maria Bonney, who I also met in 2016 as well. You know, just different individuals. I mean, 2015. Different individuals, you know what I'm saying? That whether Dr. Francis West and Dr. Kamara, I met all these psychiatrists in 2015, right? So those are the inspirations. They're looking at different documentaries, you know, with Dr. Coleman Cambone, Lenny Butler, Dr. Bobby Wright. Listen to the individuals speak and listen to certain things, analyze certain things, ask some questions. All the interviews I did on Georgia University Radio, you know, all this stuff is psychological. You know, just maintaining communication with people over the years, you know, in regard to receiving information and education. So all the add up to the process, you know what I'm saying, what I wanted to do at that time, right? But, you know, I dedicate the book to some martyrs in my to some mamas in my family, right? You know, to the matriarchs, you know. I'm going to read the dedication. If you don't mind, I want to read the dedication. If you don't mind, right? Okay. Get the dedication, right? Okay. This manifesto dedicated to my grandmother, Rose Lee Carter, who was the first one to recognize the light and intelligence in me. She was also the first new African I knew who had a personal library of thousands of books. These books were at my disposal and sparked undying flame in me to learn at the age of 5. I dedicated these writings to my mom, Paula Hardy, who not only gave birth to me physically, but also awakened my sense of self as an intelligent being. Mom, your elder son is shining his light and intelligence for others to witness and feel. This manifesto is dedicated to Mama Dr. Frances Wilson for inspiring me to inscribe my thoughts. I had the privilege of meeting her in person in May 2015 before her demise. May her resistant spirit live on. The content of the document are a memory of Mama Dr. Frances Wilson, a staunch advocate for the end of white supremacy. In 2001, she introduced me to the ICE paper, which educated me on the existence of African social sciences who literally dedicate their lives to the liberation, independent freedom, and nation building for our people. Yeah, man. So, you know, it's just a lot of inspiration, firsthand experiences, working with different people, talking to different people, traveling to different places, meeting different people. Just a little bit of everything, but the whole thing about it, the main thing about it was that we need to change our mind states in order to get what we fight for. If we talking about we want to fight for social, we want to fight for the government, we want to fight for independence, we want to fight for reparation, we want to fight for having our own nation, we want to fight for human rights. It all starts with our own mind, you know. That is the key. So I'm prepared to put something out just to get people to think. There's a small token of my appreciation. Giving back, you know, and that was all about for me.
I can dig it. And so that brings me to my last question. There is a saying, if you don't learn from history, then you're doomed to repeat it. That being the case, what is it that you want people to understand about the history of the provisional government and what it's gone through so that we don't make the same mistakes coming forward and that we will gain our own independent, sovereign nation?
Well, the history of the PG, it represents a form of consistency, right? PG been existed in 1968. It's been very moved throughout the history. They've been dissolved and destroyed from RAM, the Black Panther of Defense, SNCC, even people, a lot of people say the Garbrandt died out at the time. You know, it's a lot of moving and died, but the PG all been consistent. It all been active. So from the streets to the prisons, you know, from the university to college, it all been active, right? And the PG, PG all in history represent resistance. And the thing to remember is like, we're not gonna be free to all of us free, and we're not gonna gain independence unless we do the work. You know, the motto, raise your hand, free the land. You know, so that means do the work. They want people to know about the PG. The PG is about doing the work, and we're about doing that work. You know, so making things a working reality. That's why I strive daily and nightly. We have published in Dr. Jeremy Clarktown to build what we need. We have a community center. We own a community. We own land on the community center. We working at about purchase land, working at the build stores and hospitals and other things. You know, schools. We working. You know, and we want to make this a reality. So that's what I want people to know, that the PGRNA is a real movement. It's a real revolutionary government, and we're in the war. We win free the land. That's the reality, man. PG represent commitment. People been committed since 68, man. Commitment has to stop. You know, that's real.
No doubt. Thank you for that. All right, and then at this time, if you would, please give us your hold that thought. We got a last-second caller that has a question. So we're going to have one more question, and then we're going to go to our final thoughts. So at this time, caller 901-292, your line is open for your question. Caller 901-292, your line is open for your question.
We the land, comrades, ministers.
By any means necessary.
Comrades. I'm very fine. I've been enjoying the show, a lot of great information, and I just wanted to commend you on everything that is happening in the John Henri Clark District and your book as well, and to commend all of you because you represent the Ministry of Information. And without belaboring the point, the Ministry of Information has so many different arms. Question number one, because I have a couple. Do you feel that it? You know, I have questions. do you feel that it is vital, important, and a priority for us to obtain, secure a new African printing press?
Yes, it is utmost importance because for various reasons, for archival purposes, for purposes of propagation, our literature, we can be able to propagate things, also for fundraising activities, and it's also for preservation of things as well, because we got a lot of material that need to be preserved. And if we don't own the rights to our own material, somebody else will, and somebody will take advantage of that, you know, and be capitalistic with our items and material. So it's very important that we operate that, you know, as much as possible, and actually obtain that. That's highly important in regards to propagation purposes. If you want to reach the people,
absolutely,
you know, you want to keep your well.
Absolutely.
So it's very important.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, comrade. So as you are promoting propaganda, creating information, what do you need from the different units around the country? What do you need from them as far as tying in to the Ministry of Information to help you, because you cannot do it by yourself? I'm talking about you have your ministers, your deputy ministers, but we know that in every nook and cranny, if you call yourself a cell, you're trying to develop cadre. We have to create local as well as national propaganda. So what do you expect from the different units?
Well, the first thing, you know what I'm saying, that I respect is people that are kind of a citizen to do the duty of a citizen is by propagation. You know, we have a website, which is www.pg-rna.com. You can sign on the website, create an account, sign in, and you have access to certain documentations. Now, you can print these documents out, and circulate the document in your community. That's one of the things I expect people to do, the first thing. Another thing is that maintain communication with the Ministry of Information, and discuss certain ideas you may have in regard to propagation, or how you can assist in propagating certain things. You know, if you're creating literature, do you have talents? You have talents in art. You have talents in creating webs. So you have whatever talents you have, right? Reach out to me and miss information, and see how you can work with us, you know what I'm saying, in your government. And also understand that where you at, your particular district, area, college, unit is only a replica of the government in general. So everybody, every area must have their own ministry information office as well. And the ministry information will be plugged into the national ministry information and will have a working relationship. So that, those are basically it, those two things in general themselves, right? Have propaganda, have a working relationship with the ministry information. Those it. You know, because
excellent.
You might have skills of being a photographer. You might have skills of being a movie director. You know, we can use all those skills to make PGR video, documentaries. We can archive our films, archive our movie, archive our pictures, so forth and so on, right? Those things we need. To have our own
excellent.
Film production company, our own movie theaters, our own everything, you know, because we're talking about having independence, so we got to have everything look like us. You know what I'm saying? To look like us in our face, from our new our perspective. A new African narrative. You got to have those things.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I thank you for that, because that's exactly what I wanted the listening audience to know, that, you know, if you are going to be a conscious citizen worker, you've got to figure out where your talent lies, where your interest lies, and build the nation from that perspective. And if we're all doing our part, we're going to have a beautiful dynamic cell, unit, embassy, et cetera, as you've described the John Henri Clark to be doing. So I appreciate you, comrade. Yes.
Please suggest
me
a question.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well,
all right. Thank you, First Vice President Mama Aya, for that question. And at this time, guest, Brother Minister Bomani, if you would, please give us your final thought.
Hey, my final thoughts, man, is you hear with Sasa, man. You hear with Sasa. You hear with Sasa. Freedom now, right? And just do the work. Just do the work. Just do the work. You know what I'm saying? Just do the work. That's all, man. That's all I have. Do the work. You know, and if you took any kind of oath for any kind of pledge of commitment, adhere to that. No matter, but it definitely signed it. So once you make the commitment, you gotta go through with it. No matter what anybody say or do, no matter what anybody else is involved in the struggle, movement, organization, collective, when you take the oath, it's on you to uphold that oath and that pledge. I'm gonna say free the land, long as you have for independent move, long as resistance.
By any means necessary. Thank you for that, brother. We appreciate you being a guest on the show tonight. And at this time, I'm going to ask my co-host, Sister Millie Queen, if she will give us her final thoughts as well. Sister Millie Queen, if you would.
Ashe, this has been a very great show, Minister Bomani. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for bringing us all of this information, Minister of Information. We appreciate you.
No doubt.
Thank you always for all the work that you are doing. Always, always. Thank you for all the work that you are doing. We appreciate you. And I have enjoyed this show. I love you all. Free the land.
By the means, sir.
By the means, sir. All right. And as for myself, Akin Bekele, my final thoughts for tonight are I just want everyone to know that we are able to gain our independence. We just have to put forth the work, as Brother Bomani mentioned. So please put forth that work. And as he said, if you take any kind of oath, then it's your responsibility. You have a blood oath and responsibility to do your duty to gain the independence for your people. And also, I just want to leave everyone to know that you can find out more information about the PG on our website, www.pg-rna.com, and on our various social media sites. And also, for everyone to remember, that coming up March 31st, through April 1st and 2nd, we will be in North Charleston, South Carolina for our annual Nation Day celebration. This will be our 55th annual celebration of Nation Day. You can get information about how to attend on our website, pg-rna.com, where you can have the link to the Eventbrite where you can sign up. And also, we are looking for sponsorships. So if your organization would like to take out an ad in our souvenir book, please feel free to reach out. The information is on the website, pg-rna.com, for anyone who wants to have their information put in our booklet, whether you want to have a whole page ad or just be a patron. Please support our celebration, and we want to see you all, whether it be virtually or physically, out for our 55th annual Nation Day celebration. Thank you all again for attending this PGRNA radio session for this month. We look forward to seeing you next month. Thank you again. Free the land. Free the land. Free the land.
Pardon me, sir.